Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is a Sunday Roundup. Sophie Ridge was joined this morning by the former Work and Pensions Secretary Ian Duncan Smith. Duncan Smith resigned from the government in 2016 in protest at a lack of funding for his universal credit reforms. With Labour now calling for the policy to be scrapped, Duncan Smith outlined how he felt universal credit could be rescued.
My view is, and has been for some time, the government has a really, really transformative policy on its hands. You do not underfund it as it goes in, because if you do that, then what you do is lose the great benefit of it and then end up starving people of
cash.
And
potentially breaking that contract with the most vulnerable. Because,
so
I mean, just going back to, you know, your promise to look after the most vulnerable, I mean, one of the things that people are saying now is that some of the people who could be about to lose out are those who are the most vulnerable. Lone parents, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a father. You know how difficult it is to bring up a child.
Yes.
These are people in work, often.
Couldn't agree with you more.
People trying to do the right thing.
Which is why, for the last 2.5 years, I've proposed constantly that we put the money that was taken out, it was nearly £5 billion, was taken out, back in.
So £5 billion.
Well, the government has actually been quite good. They put about £2 billion back in. What's left is about between £2 and £3 billion, I would think.
And you want that addressed in the budget, do you?
Well, I think it's wholly feasible, and you don't have to add any new spending. They have a plan at the moment to raise the tax thresholds, which is a manifesto commitment. But the trouble is we've raised them so high now that most of the poorest don't get affected by another rise in tax thresholds. About 20% would get any benefit from this because so many are out of tax. Whereas with universal credit, if you put the money that was there into the allowances, which is like a tax threshold for very poor people, then in actual fact what you do is nearly 80% of your money goes straight to the poorest four deciles. Now, I think it's a no-brainer. If you take that money, you will deliver on what I said, and at the same time, you will really improve the lifestyles of people in the poorest circumstances. That's what universal credit was designed to do. It's why I brought it in. It is now ready to do that. We just need to grab this bull by the horns and say, this money should go right to the poorest.
Ridge also spoke to the Shadow Attorney General, Shami Chakrabarty, about the government's use of so-called gagging clauses. These clauses compel charities and other organisations working with the Department for Work and Pensions to pay the utmost regard to the standing and reputation of Secretary of State Esther McVeigh.
The gagging clauses in particular something that you're concerned about?
Well, you know, as Shadow Attorney, you can imagine, and with a human rights and free speech background, you can imagine that I was pretty shocked to learn that contracts between the DWP, that's Esther McVeigh's department, and charities include clauses that preclude the charities from criticising the Secretary of State, the department, or universal credit. That's completely unacceptable, and I think quite possibly unenforceable in our courts. So Margaret Greenwood has written to Esther McVeigh, urging her to come to Parliament and make very publicly clear that these gagging clauses will not be enforced and they will not continue in any new contracts between government and third parties.
This morning, David Davis, the former Brexit secretary, wrote in the Sunday Times urging cabinet ministers to rebel against Theresa May's negotiating stance, which some Brexiteers worry may leave the UK within the customs union indefinitely. Andrew Marr interviewed Health Secretary Matt Hancock about the Prime Minister's strategy, with Hancock's response appearing to confirm those fears.
Is there going to be a time limit?
Well, I certainly hope so. I'm expecting that the transitional arrangements, they've got to be temporary and time limited. You know, I voted Remain in the referendum, but it's very important that we recognise and implement the result of the referendum. And we're going into the final few days and weeks of these negotiations. And I think that it's important that where we have a backstop, that both reflects the integrity of the UK with respect to the customs union and customs arrangements, and also that it's temporary.
So to be absolutely crystal clear, we're in this kind of customs limbo for the time being. There will be a date. When MPs get to vote on that, they will see a date by which time we will have left the customs union.
Well, the proposal is that it will be temporary.
Temporary can go on forever. Temporary can go on for 10 or 20 years. Will there be a date is my question.
Well, there's different ways to ensure that something is time limited. There are different ways of doing that.
Okay, well, give me another way then.
Well, for instance, you can set conditions under which at the point at which the arrangements come to an end. But the crucial thing, big picture, is this. We're coming into the final days and weeks of these negotiations. The Prime Minister is negotiating on behalf of the country in the national interest. She is determined to make sure that we honour the result of the referendum, that we get the
yes, I understand that,
but that we get the control of our laws, and that we have as frictionless trade as possible.
Meanwhile, the Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry has defended Labour's six Brexit tests against a somewhat unusual accusation.
You mentioned your tests a couple of times. They're a bit silly, aren't they?
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. And do you know what? They can't. What? They are the very words that the Tory ministers said, yes, and that's what they said they would achieve. And when we said we put forward those...
during a speech from the ex-Brexit secretary, unscripted, offhand comment, the exact same benefits 2 years ago.
So when she said that she was going to go off and get this deal, and we said we will have six tests, and she said, Theresa May said, oh, it's fine, I'm going to be able to agree all that. My agreement will meet your test. That's what the Prime Minister said, and we're holding her to it.
I'm not denying there was blithe optimism earlier on. I'm just saying, if you say we must have the exact same benefits, then that means that we have to stay inside the single market and the customs union. Otherwise, we can't possibly have the exact same benefits. So it does seem to a lot of people that these are tests designed for the government to fail them. I mean, they're intended to provoke a parliamentary crisis because you want a general election as soon as possible.
Those tests are designed with the British public in mind. It is that they are tests which will look after our country. And frankly, that's what the Labour Party has been doing, where the Tory party have just been involved in some psychodrama for the last 2 years, where they have just been fighting amongst themselves, not able to agree on what it is that they want to negotiate. So since they can't agree on what they're able to negotiate, guess what? They haven't been able to negotiate anything.
And finally, the journalist Sarah Vine has come to the aid of Theresa May and given some advice for the rest of the cabinet, advice which may or may not include Vine's husband, Michael Gove.
Can I just say, in her defence, she has had to put up, she's had to deal with the most impossible situation ever in the history of politics. I don't think,
She wanted that dish, but it's a pretty unappetising dish.
But she, and she is tenacious, yeah. She is calm, she just does plough on. I mean, I think it would be quite nice if all the men stopped shouting and screaming and waving their willies around and maybe just gave her a bit of a hand occasionally.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and you can get a great deal on the magazine with 12 issues for just £12 and a free limited edition Spectator thermally insulated water bottle. Just visit spectator.co.uk/water. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.